For the past several Wednesdays, we've been doing a little feature called Get Into the Word Wednesday. Now, it's not just on Wednesdays that we want to read God's Word. So we believe that, you know, reading God's Word, not just reading it, but studying it and reflecting on it and obeying it is the way to bring about life transformation. And we're committed to that here at Faith Radio. And so we've been spending some time over the last few weeks with Eric Larson. Eric's a writer, a teacher, and a speaker, and for the past 3 decades has been helping people crack open and navigate their Bibles. In fact, he has actually put together a wonderful resource called Frameworks, How to Navigate the New Testament. Has a publishing company called Frameworks Resources, and you can find out more about this resource, frameworksthebook.com. And Eric, it's good to have you back. We're in session 6, I guess, of our time together. Good to talk with you.
Good to talk with you, Neil. Thank you for having me on.
So we've come to the last section, and it's sort of a category all by itself. So talk to us about Revelation.
Yeah, at the end of the general letters, that group is tied together, and then Revelation sits on its own, and it's a unique book in that it is a prophecy. It's an end-time prophecy, and it's written in symbolism, and so it's totally different than a lot of the other writings in the New Testament, and it just stands on its own.
I know that, as you like to do at the beginning of each book, kind of help us understand a bit more and about the book, maybe with a metaphor. So talk about Revelation. If it was a movie, what would the picture look like?
Yeah, the metaphor that we used for Revelation is an IMAX theater. And the reason we did that is Revelation has 60 visual images in it, 60 large visual images. And some of them are stories, some of them are individual verses, but there are 60 of them, and they're all in technicolor, if you will, and John has seen these visions, and now he's trying to write them down in words that we can understand. So he uses the word like a lot. It was like this, and it was like that, and it was like the other thing. And so as you read through Revelation, you're going to be seeing the series of 60 different visual images in front of you. And we thought, what would be a better metaphor for the book of Revelation than an IMAX theater? And if we thought of IMAX being the biggest format on the planet, well, this is even bigger because these visions go across the universe. And John is seeing these magnificent things that he's trying to describe to us. So we thought that was apropos.
Well, and as you said, you know, John trying to write this in words that we can understand. I mean, most of us who have maybe cracked open the book a little or a lot would have to say, well, there's a lot I don't understand. I mean, is this a book that we can actually understand?
Yeah, I think we can, and I think we need to approach it prayerfully and allow the Holy Spirit to enlighten us in different things. But I would also say that it's not bad to realize that you don't know everything that's going on and that you read it anyway. Because anytime you get into the Word and read the Word, you get nourished and you get washed and you get fed. And even though you don't understand, still there is a spiritual transaction going on. And it, eventually over time, possibly through commentaries that could help, or through other means, you can get a better understanding of it. One other thing is that the first phrase in the book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Those are the first 5 or 6 words in chapter 1. And this has 2 meanings. First is the revelation given by Jesus to us of what was going to be happening in the future. And the second is it's a revelation of himself. And we find out in this book, in this letter, that there are literally dozens and dozens and dozens of ways that Jesus is presented to us that are not anywhere else in the New Testament. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah, I mean, there's hundreds of them this way. So you can read it for that, just to see who Christ is through all of the chapters of Revelation.
Well, speaking of chapters, give us a little sense of the outline, the framework for the letter to Revelation.
There are a number of different ways of looking at it, but here's the one I think that is the clearest. You have 5 sections of the book. The first is the introduction, and that's chapter 1, where John is on the island of Patmos, and he tells his story about what's going on there, and he starts giving his first visions. So that's number 1. Then chapters 2 and 3 form the second section, and this is actually quite interesting. It is 7 letters dictated by Jesus himself to 7 actual churches that existed in today's Turkey, We call that Asia Minor. So that comprises chapters 2 and 3. And then chapters 4 through 11 would be the third section. And those are symbols of things that are going to be taking place from John's time through the end of time. And at the end of chapter 11, you have the kingdom of God coming to earth. And so that kind of wraps up a general view of what will be happening from John's time until Christ comes back at the end of the age. Starting in chapter 12 and going through 20, you can see that this section is actually covering the same material as 4 through 11. But now it's going into detail, and now it's looking at visions in much more graphic description. So it's highlighting the important parts of what we just read in 4:11. So that's chapters 12 through 20. And then the fifth section, the final section, is the last two chapters, a new heaven, a new earth with the new Jerusalem coming down. And this is a picture of eternity, probably also a picture of heaven today, but eternity in the future. So those five sections are the way to look at the book. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to get sort of lost in the visions or in maybe the minutiae when we're reading Revelation. What can we do to kind of keep the big picture in mind when we're reading this?
I think just to realize that it's an overall picture of the victory of Christ. It's a picture of the end of evil, the end of Satan, the bringing in of a new heaven, a new earth, the realization of God's eternal purpose at the end. And all of the visions are there for purposes, obviously, and they kind of fit into the mosaic that's leading us to the end. And even if we don't understand them, just realize that the overarching picture at the very end of Revelation, we're going to see the consummation. The other thing that's very helpful is that there are four phrases that I've kind of come up with that talk about the content of the book, and here they are. God judges, Christ returns, God's kingdom comes, and eternity is unveiled. So that's kind of the big picture of what's going on there. God judges, lots of judgment. Christ returns, a big thing. God's kingdom comes. We've been praying for it every Sunday. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. And it does. And then finally, eternity is unveiled. And that's chapter 21 and 22.
Is there a takeaway application other than just sort of hanging on to that, that as you've just said, that we can be confident that, you know, Christ is going to return and his kingdom will come and eternity will be established? Or is there a personal takeaway that we should hang on to when we look at Revelation?
I think the Lord wants to come back more than we want him to come back. And so we simply have to be open to him. At the very end of Revelation, the shortest prayer in the Bible is given, and that is, "Come, Lord Jesus." And that's John's prayer in the last couple of verses of the book. And so it's looking forward to the return of Christ to the planet, and as we as Christians are learning to love him and follow him spiritually, we've never really seen him, but we sense his presence. We continue to do that until he comes, and he's asked us to do that. And then one day, we're going to be seeing him face to face. So I guess that would be the takeaway that I would give.
There is a good perspective, too, to actually have this as the final book in the New Testament, because it really does provide a summary of what is to come, doesn't it?
Yeah, and even an interesting fact about that, if you look at Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 21 and 22, that's the first two chapters, and the last two chapters, the same things are there. God, man, the tree of life, the river of life, gold, precious stones, it's all in Genesis 1 and 2. It's all in chapters 21 and 22 of Revelation. But now those raw materials in Genesis 1 and 2 are built up into a city at the end, and God's eternal purpose is completed. I mean, it gives you shivers when you think about that. So the entire scripture ties together. And those four chapters are the only sin-free chapters in the whole Bible, because sin came in Genesis 3, and then Satan is thrown in the lake of fire in Revelation 20. So your Bible should only have four chapters, but it has so much more because of the problem of sin.
We've benefited so much from Eric Larson's insights, helping us to get a better framework of the scriptures that we hold so dear, and want to encourage you simply to read your Bible. Maybe pick up a gospel, then maybe read the book of Revelation, as we've been discussing today. And if you need some help, you can find out more. Frameworks, it's how to navigate the New Testament. You can find it at frameworksthebook.com, frameworksthebook.com. Eric Larson is a writer, teacher, and speaker, and has a publishing company called Frameworks Resources. He's been joining us today as we've done another series in our Get Into the Word Wednesday. And, Eric, we always appreciate you giving us some insight. Thanks so much.
Glad to be here, Neil.